Thank you. I think somebody asked me a while ago, was I going to preach? Well, I hadn't thought about it, but I've told the Lord many times if he'd let me believe in women preachers, I'd go at it. It's such a joy to be here tonight. Oh, my goodness. You have some talented ladies. I mean, talented. Oh, my goodness. And this tree, you're not supposed to lust after nothing. But now, girls, y'all are on the same boat with me. Isn't that the most beautiful thing you ever looked at? I love Christmas. I love everything about it. Well, let me not talk my way out of the back door. What was it so cute that, do you know who Karen Peck is, the singer? She talks like this. She's from up in Gainesville. And she said, you know, my sister's like my mama. She don't talk until she's got something to say. And she said, but I'm like my daddy. I just talk till I get something to say. I have to be careful with that. But before we begin tonight, I just think the men have done a fabulous job tonight here. And I've just watched them. Love it, love it. And our sweet sound men up there, I've been a music director for 40 years, so I always say that music directors are going to be on the back row of heaven, and sound men's going to be on the front row of heaven. You agree? They don't ever hear anything that's good. They just only hear from you when it goes wrong. Right? We better pray. Let's do ask the Lord's blessings. Lord, tonight, what a blessed opportunity this is to meet some more of my family that we'll spend eternity together. And what a neat idea and what a neat thing to have Christmas teas and to get to come and just have it so special and to have the fellowship and the wonderful food and just to grow closer together and to sense your presence at this time of year, just to stop of being so busy with all the things that concern us at Christmas, and just stop and just take the time out to say, Jesus, I thank you for who you are. Tonight, I pray that you'd use me and just make me a blessing. Anything I am or ever hope to be, I owe it all to you. So tonight, I'd ask you to take it and do with it as you see fit. And I'll be the vessel, and you run the whole program, and I'll be grateful. I'll give you the praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, fellas, let's sing. You can start it whenever you want to. I just talk into it. This is off my new CD, and I just love it because it's where I am. It's where I are. Here we go. In good hands. I'm in good hands. I'm in the hands of Jesus. Even though the winds may blow, oh, but this I know, I'm in the good, good hands of Jesus. Can I get a witness? In good hands. You can sing it with me. I'm in good hands. I'm in the Jesus, even though the winds, they're gonna blow, oh, but this I know, I'm in the good, good hands of Jesus. Here's the message. Now I can answer every question, cause I don't know what life may bring, but this I know, my Lord is faithful, and to his dear cause my spirit cleaves. I'm in. Sing it with me. Let me hear you do it. I'm in good hands. I'm in the hands uncharted, 'cause I don't know how long the storm may rage, but this I know, I trust the captain, my for the devil to hear you say that. Say it big and loud. Sing it to me. I'll be 77 years old in January, and 3 years ago, Satan said, "You're done." My husband had cancer, and I had cancer. We both had cancer at the same time, and he went home to be with Jesus in Christmas time of 2014, and I don't know why I believe the devil, because he never told the truth yet, but he lied again, and so I've been on the road. I'm telling you what, I am spoiled rotten. That's the best thing about being old. People think you can't do nothing. They do it all for you. Oh, I love it. I love it. And I don't tell him any better. I got a call from Gerald Wolf, and he said, "What are you doing?" He told me the date, and I said, "Well, what you want me to do?" Well, I wound up being the gospel organist. And, honey, I saw you sitting down there. When I get to heaven, I'm going to really play black organ like y'all can do. No, we can't do it. God didn't give us that gift. He gave it to your folks, because all they had was a song. So he gave y'all something special. Now, I try. I work at it. But I play organ, and they never heard organ like that. It's not that I'm so good, but they just never heard nothing. They think if it's an organ, it's going to be a squeaky, you know, awful sounding thing. But anyway, I've been on the road doing that, and that's just opened more doors, and I stay going all the time. And I told my daughter, we moved to Knoxville, and I said, "Oh, I just love my little house God gave me." She said, "Well, I don't know why you never stay in it." But that's wonderful, because I was just talking to your music director. No, your youth director? No, yeah. And I just love people. I want to get to know you. I want to be around you. I want to love on you. I want to know when you hurt. I want to be able to laugh and giggle with you when something's funny, and then shout when God answers prayer, because we're all in this thing together. Amen? I got to hush. I got to sing. The reason I can be here tonight, I grew up in the mountains of North Georgia and in a little town called Blairsville. Have you ever heard of it? Had our Norman Rockwell bringing up. One day at our little country church, Mama Griswold came to me and said, "If you died tonight, do you know if you'd go to heaven or not?" Wow. I never got over that until I said yes to him. Listen, as a child back in Sunday school, I learned this simple truth. Jesus died to take my sin away. And I can still remember when he changed my life way back then, and the cross is just as real today. I still believe in the power of the blood Jesus shed on Mount Calvary. Listen, and I still hold to the hope that is gone to prepare a dwelling place for me. And I still cling to the promise. There is still forgiveness for the lost. Even though the world says it's not real, I know it is. Because I still believe, I still hope, I still cling to the old rugged cross. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm glad I was a mountain girl. I'm glad I believe the truth of the Bible. Amen? Here's where we are today. Some may say I'm old enough to stand without holding his hand, but with each passing day I need him more. He's become my everything, and that's the reason why I cling to Calvary and all the cross stands for. I still believe in the power of the blood Jesus shed on the Mount Calvary. And I still hold to the hope that he's gone to prepare a dwelling place for me. Amen. And I still goodness, it takes me back to those days. Well, one of the things I love to do ladies' events, even though you guys are here. You're really being used tonight as to be a blessing. But I love to do ladies' events, and I do a lot of seminars and things like that. And here's this little song that I found many years ago, and I just recorded it, and it just talks about us. It's just called Sister's Keeper. How many of you have a best friend here tonight? How many of you wish you had a best friend? How many even need a best friend? All right, this is just for you. And tonight when you leave here, you better have one picked out. It's not just accidental that our paths have crossed this way. I believe divine appointment has brought us here today. 'Cause we all need each other, and we all need his hand. Together we can make it. Together we will stand. I will be my sister's keeper. If you fall,
I'll lift you up
while we walk.
This road together,
he will keep.
in His love.
Don't you love those words? Listen, when you walk and troubles come in your life and faith turns into fear, sisters need each other through the laughter and the tears. And when you need a shoulder, I will be your friend to pray for you, to carry you until our journey's end. I will be
my sister's keeper. This road together, He will keep us in His love.
Now listen.
Although our lives are different, we share a common bond. Jesus makes us sisters, and sisters makes us strong. Sisters makes us strong. Road together, He will keep us in His love. While we walk this road together,
He will keep us in His love. Love that little song. I just love that. And there's already been somebody here that stood in the gap with you somewhere. But there's a lot of people that walk in a room like this and they smile and they act happy and they act like they've got it all together. And inside, it's like a shriveled up prune. They don't have nothing in there. They're broken. They're hurting. They're bitter. They're sad. And they just need somebody just to walk them and say, did you know I love you today? I just love to go in the grocery store and do that. It just freaks them out. I love to drive through McDonald's and get a frappe and just say, do you know you're special? And then I'll say, have you had a hug today? I never found one that's had a hug. But you know what? They just want to know you care. And that's, every one of us are the same way. Every one of us have that same need to have lady friends. Sometimes our husbands used to think was crazy because girls can talk and they can settle everything where men, they don't talk. Most of them just don't talk. They just, everything's going to be all right. And by the way, you may say, well, why aren't you singing Christmas songs? Well, here's the deal. I don't get to be with you but an hour. I don't get to be up here but an hour. And I want to redeem the time because I know this time of year, it is for me, it's the toughest time of year. December the 30th in 2014, John went home to be with the Lord, and Christmas is always a little rougher. So I just feel the need to redeem the time and to try to do what God wants me to do. If the piano had been over here in the middle, I was going to play and sing White Christmas with you. But you can sing that going home, okay? And pray for snow because I love snow. Here's a song that sort of speaks my heart. When you get to this age, how many of you are over 60? We got a lot of young girls in here tonight. Woo, not many of you. Well, if you're over 30, or you're going to be looking at the same thing. But let me just say, those of you that are 30, there's nothing in life that's as important as just being who God wants you to be. Not what somebody else thinks you ought to do, but what God wants you to be and finding that place in relationship with Him. So you can leave behind something that nobody else could leave behind and influence somebody's life. I know people that have come down to die, and all of a sudden, I've heard one say, well, why was I here? Could you live 50 or 60 or 70 years and not know why you were here? He's created you differently from anybody else in the world and given you something special. And you just want to be sure and use that something special, because it's not about us. It's all about Him. So what I want to do is just carry the gospel to the world, however He sees fit. Paulus of Omniscient wrote Jerusalem, wrote this song, and I love to sing it because it just says my heart. Jesus came to earth to live, but then He died to save us. He rose again in victory to prove His sovereignty. Now we can see His heart in the many things He left us as His story unfolds for all to see. His silver went to Judas, His body went to Joseph, His mother to apostles that would take good care of her, His clothes to a soldier, His peace to His disciples, His supper to His followers, and the gospel to the world. I wish I could think of lyrics like that. No earthly possessions that any man could hope for. He left no worthy estates that one would seek to gain. Oh, but the many things He left would change history forever. And what He left has changed my life today. His silver went to Judas, His body went to Joseph, His mother to apostles that would take good care of her, His clothes to a soldier, His peace to His disciples, His supper to His followers, and the gospel to the world. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my gospel to the world. Oh, I love to tell the story to the world. To the to do it. Oh my goodness. Well, you know, it's just the, maybe fun's not the right word, but it's such a joy to get to be with you tonight and to see how beautiful everything is. Oh my goodness. I went around and looked at every table and I wanted every one of them. That's just how we are as women. It's the most exciting time of the year. How many of you, it's your favorite time of year? How many of you, just admit it? The little girl in us comes out, doesn't it? You all look so beautiful and everything's so done, so beautiful. And it's all been done tonight. So you would feel special, have a special night. And I have a feeling that there's been a lot of men that's worked real hard to make this special for you tonight, too. It's the time of year that we're all thinking about gifts. Amen? It may not be yours, but it's going to be somebody's you're thinking about. And it's just where we are. I don't know about you, but at my house, I get catalogs and catalogs and more catalogs. And this is one it came the day I left, and I smiled and just picked it up because I have called them twice and said, look, I know these catalogs are very expensive, and sometimes I get two or three different kinds from you in the mail. This is from the Viking Riverboat Cruises. And when I was at Glen Haven as music director for 30 years, they sent John and I on a riverboat cruise to Switzerland. I had to take him dragging and screaming. You know, men like stay at home, most of them. But it was the most fabulous trip, and we just had the most glorious time, and that's another story another day. But I've asked them, please don't send me anymore. They just keep coming. You know why they send them? They know I'll look at them. They know I'll dream. They know I'll wish. And then reality hits, and I say, I can't afford to go on them no more. I could never afford to go on one in the first place, the first time. But they're persistent. They know. I started to look at the word dream because we as ladies, we do dream. We do dream. Some of you dream dreams that you'd never tell anybody about. In fact, I went to the dictionary and was going to look up the word dream. And then I thought, ah, phooey. I know what it means to dream. It means to be asleep and you're dead and don't know it. You know, when you're asleep, you're out of your mind. Don't any of the men speak up at this time. What do women dream about? I can tell you because I are one. You look at these catalogs and you dream about clothes. I want that. Oh, I'd like to have that. Oh, I need that. You dream about a new house or a fixed-up house or a added-on house. You might dream about a new car because the other one's falling apart and your husband just loves driving and hearing it make noise. You dream about money. When somebody wins the lottery, you wouldn't dare play it, but when somebody wins, you think, oh, man, what I could do with that. Don't tell me. You're giggling. I know. You dream about traveling. I mean, I just like to go to Disney World one more time. My family won't let me go with them because they said I can't walk enough. I said, well, if you put me in a wheelchair, y'all get in the head of the line. But I mean, that didn't even impress them. You dream about new furnitures. Oh, I got to tell you this. When I was a young girl at home, little girl, my mother and daddy had, you've probably never heard this word. If you're under 70, you probably had. Do y'all remember the old living room seats that they were called frise, and they were like wool, and they were scratchy? We had a wine one. And so my mother had subtly hinted that she wanted a new living room suit. Well, one day, my daddy bought a bass boat. Not smart when she wanted a living room suit. So that night when he came up from the store, we had a parts and appliance store. My mother had got the boys that worked in the store. Daddy had been out on a service call. She had that living room suit taken out, and she had that boat sitting in the living room. And she had a bedspread sitting over it. And when Daddy walked in the room, she said, come in, Mr. Davenport, and have a seat. Have you ever pulled that on your husbands? I know. My phone's kicking, and I don't want it to kick till I get ready for it. But anyway, I understand what we dream about, but it doesn't always come true. Did you know that children dream, too? They dream about what they're going to get, and they start in August. Y'all remember the old Sears and Penney's catalogs? Oh, my soul. I've marked enough in there to have 10 warehouses full. I never did get much out of there, but it didn't stop me from dreaming. You circled it, didn't you? They dream about Santa and toys and... anybody know what that is? They dream about those more than anything. And that's just the way children do. But let's mend your dream tonight. I can tell you what we'd dream of, a few of the things. If we could just wave a magic wand over Christmas and over our house early and say Shazam, where there'd be money to buy the gifts we wanted to buy, that they'd all be wrapped, that the tree'd be up and they'd be under it, and the house would be clean and smell like spices and the pine tree and Christmas and cookies. We've ever one dream that dream. But let's talk about another kind of a dream. Let's think about, let's wave the wand and around the church a little bit. Let's put some wishes that we wish we had into a church perspective. How many times have you sat in church and wished that you spent more time in the Word? Don't raise your hands. How many times have you wished that you could have that special personal relationship with the Lord that you see somebody you really admire have, and you know they walk and talk with the Lord, and you think, I wish I had that? How many of you wish you could find every book in the Bible without panicking? I know. What about a real prayer life? I hear people say, and the Lord talks to me. I was privileged when I was young to do a lot of traveling as a singer all over the world. And one of the thrills of my lifetime was when I was around a lot of Hollywood people and got to meet Dale Rogers and Roy. Now, most of y'all don't even know who they are. But he was king of the cowboys, and they were just a wonderful, godly couple. And I got to go to their house several times, and the men will just have to bear with this. The first time I went, I was so, you know, I'm just a little girl from the mountains of North Georgia. I'm nobody special and still not. But the first time I went to their house, and when we drove up, there was a big bronze weather vane of Trigger on the top of the roof. And we walked in, there was a big grand piano, an old antique grand piano. But under the piano, there was some cat poop. And I thought, well, she just like us. She just lives like we do. Well, we laughed about it. And, of course, the first thing she wanted to do was sing and play, and we did. And just she became such a wonderful mentor to me through a lot of rough years in my life when I was first seeing that everybody that calls themselves Christians are not Christians. And everybody that says they love the Lord and live for Him don't live for Him, and you've been there and done that. But she made a statement. I'll just fix this when I get ready to use it. She made a statement to me one night in the kitchen. We were preparing supper, and I won't forget it as long as I live. I was just a young girl, early 20s. And she said, you know, Sandy, I am so thankful I gave my heart to the Lord before I was a has-been so I could have some influence. What a strong statement. Have you ever witnessed to somebody say, well, I'm just not ready now. I'm going to live some, and then I'll think about that later. But they have no guarantees there's going to be a later. And she also shared with me about, she and Walt Disney were very, very close friends. And she said, Walt Disney, this has been 50 years ago. She said that Walt Disney told her that child abuse in America was going to be the worst thing that had ever happened. Well, back then we couldn't see that. But are we not seeing that today just like he said it? There's always somebody that God will send in your life to encourage you and to influence you. But by the same token, you have that same responsibility. I just wonder, does God dream? The Word is God's catalog. And everything we need is in there. And I think when He opens it, He sees you in every chapter and every verse. Because I think it's for you. He dreamed of you in every book, every chapter. He dreams of you coming to worship Him. Why do people go to church on Sunday morning and sit down and never enter into the worship and just sit there and think, oh, that was good, or maybe her dress is too short, or that woman sung too loud? I mean, why? And then we get up and go home and think we've got it done for the next week. We've done God a favor. What must our Heavenly Father think about that? He dreams of you, wanting you to be in His presence. I was talking to, tell me your first name. Alan. Alan and I were talking a while ago about, and I said to him, you know, there's two words I never hear anymore. One is anointing. You never hear that. And really, the word sin is just for idiots that believe in this stuff we believe in. Because everything's okay if you want to do it. How did I get off on that? But I feel like that God has His Word in our hands when so many people around the world don't have His Word. He has it in our hands because sometimes He gets His dreams. Sometimes when things get tough, you fall on your knees and you start talking to Him and you start saying, you're my only source, so I believe you with all of my heart. But let's go shopping. Let's go shopping tonight for gifts. I love gifts. I'm going to tell you this one. When I was a young girl, I was the nosiest kid in the block. I wanted to know what I got that was under the tree. Anybody ever do that? Did you ever unwrap them and wrap them back and nobody knew it? I knew I was among friends. Well, Mother and Daddy were aware of that, so they got where they would lead me astray. My daddy was not a gambler, but remember in the gas stations when they used to have those punch board things and you could win things? Y'all remember them? You people under 40, you never heard of that, but you could win things. And one thing that they had that my mother thought she wanted was a lamp with a clock on the front of it, and it had a red shade that looked like Venetian blinds, and it started small and came out like this. So when Christmas time came and I saw this big box, I'd start asking questions. She said, well, I can give you some clues. She said, it might have some red on it. And she said, another day, she said, well, sometimes when I think about it, I think of Venetian blinds. Well, Lord, I've been in there and Daddy looking at it with Daddy, and I thought, they wouldn't dare. They wouldn't dare. I'm 14 years old. They couldn't dare do that. Well, by the time Christmas got there, she had me convinced that's what I had. And I thought, how am I going to keep from just having a total meltdown? And when I opened it up, I was older than 14. I had to be about 17 because when I opened it up, I had wanted a Bell and Howell projector because I had gotten a camera and I wanted a projector. And when I opened that box, it was a projector. Now, that was a big deal for us because we didn't have money. And they were so excited to give it to me. So that's one of the gifts that I can remember. Now, while you're sitting there, you've thought of something you've got that somebody else might have thought was so special and you thought, ugh. But then you might have also gotten a gift that was very sacrificial from somebody who loved you so very much. So, you know, when I think about God's gifts, they're just not in the league with earthly gifts. Let's look at the catalog and let's see what He's made available to us. But while I was having my devotions this week, I looked on my camera and I always get something from Max Licata. How many of you read his books? I've never read anything off my phone when I was speaking in my life, but if it don't go dead, I'm going to read it to you. Everybody gets a gift. Joshua said, tribe of Judah, take the high country, Manasseh, and occupy the valleys. People of God, inhabit the land east of the Jordan. Jesus said, Joe, take your place in the domain of medicine. Mary, your territory is accounting. Susan, I give you the gift of compassion. Now occupy your territory. Everybody gets a gift, and these gifts, stop it, come in different doses and combinations. Corinthians 12:7. Each person is giving something to do that shows who God is. Our inheritance is grace-based and equal, but our assignments are tailor-made. No two snowflakes are alike, and no two fingerprints are the same. Why would two skill sets be the same? No wonder Paul said in Ephesians 5:17, to make sure you understand what the master wants. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Do you know what's wrong with our churches today? Somebody in California decided to have a contemporary church and do away with the choir and play guitars and sing it 10 times. And I love some contemporary, okay? But every church in America thought that's what they had to do to be great. Well, first of all, God said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Number two, every church is not alike. Every church has its own personality. Just like when I go to the cafeteria, I can't eat everything they got. I know what I like, and I know what feeds me. Well, it's the same way in church. I'm in a wonderful church. Some of it reaches my heart and takes me to Jesus, and other, I just go, okay, Lord, I'll wait for the next dish. But see, we're different. And so God didn't create us all to do the same thing and be alike. What takes me to Jesus may not take you to Jesus. Now, there's basics we have to establish. But don't be a cookie cutter. You're different. And I have heard this a jillion times. Well, I just don't have any gifts. Excuse me. Have you ever said that? Yes, if you're breathing, you have a gift. I know some people, their gift is cooking. I think there's been one of them around here today, or two or three. You say, that's not a gift. Oh, yes, it is. I'm not a fancy lady. I'm just a mountain girl. And so when somebody gets sick, I still think of comfort food. And last week, I just fixed chicken and dumplings and fried okra and green beans from Blarsville and stuff that I knew, and cornbread, and I took it to them. And my first thought was, and they got a big fancy house, and they're wealthy, and I thought, I bet you they put that in the trash can. I wish I hadn't have done it. Well, that was the devil talking to me. God wouldn't talk to you like that. And you know what? They came back on Sunday to church last Sunday. You know what they said? We ate off of that two meals. That's the best. He said, my wife was picking an okra up with her fingers and eating it before we ever got to the table. She couldn't quit eating it because I like it fried crunchy. You may have the gift of cooking, and you may get to cook for people. Don't diminish that. Not everybody can sing. Not everybody can play. Wouldn't that be a mess? And so there's just so many. Your gift, well, let's talk about some gifts. Let me get back. Oh, I just had Christmas. It snow fell. Let's just see if I can get to the one I need to get to, okay? Let's talk about the first gift, the gift of love. Have you ever known anybody you couldn't stand to be around? Please don't answer that tonight. They might be here. You know John 3:16. You probably know John 14:21 and 23 and John 15 now, but here's one of them. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now, I know some folks I couldn't love if God didn't love them through me. And I know I don't like them. I have to love them, but I can just go ahead and tell you I don't like them. I probably shouldn't have admitted that. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. He who loves me will be loved by my Father. Boy, that's a pretty good promise. He who loves me, Jesus, will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him, or let's say her, and show myself to her. Can you imagine Jesus revealing himself to us? That's his wish. That's his desire. That's why he gave us his catalog of how to live and how to listen and how to be obedient. Second one, these are all words you see on Christmas cards. The gift of peace, Isaiah 26:3, will keep him in perfect peace, whose what? Mind is stayed on you. Now, I don't know about you, but I can tell you about me. I like to fix everybody. I taught a ladies' Sunday school class for 40 years. I wanted them all to have a good man, good job, good car, good place to live. And I tried my best. And one day when I was praying for one of my ladies, the Lord whispered in my ear. I knew it was him because I wouldn't have thought of it. He said, would you back off? I wouldn't have told myself that. He said, would you back off? I'm trying to do something in their life. It was pretty strong. I never forgot it. Whose mind is stayed on him. Because he trusts in you. You're his hands and feet. You're all he has to work down here with. You're it. You're special. Don't you ever say, well, I'm just a little too hefty. Nobody thinks I'm pretty. Well, I won't never get a good man. And on it goes. You know what? God looks on the heart. Smith Wigglesworth once said, perfect peace is God's gift, but our mind stayed on him is our responsibility. Ouch. How much time do you spend during the day with your mind stayed on him? And how much do you spend watching or reading? Let me move right on quickly. Always have within you the knowledge that you're acting on the word of God, and somebody is looking at you. You can't depend on feelings. I've tried that. It's a nightmare. And you can't depend on what you see. If you depend on what you see nowadays, you'd want to wear sunglasses 24/7. Not only the gift of love, not only the gift of peace. Now, these are his gifts. The gift of joy. I used to tell my ladies, you don't have to be a Christian to join this class, but you got to learn how to giggle. You got to learn how to enjoy life. We'll get you to the Lord if you'll just break that old brittle, negative, I'm not anybody and I'm not going anywhere and nobody loves me. And just have some fun. Laugh together. I can look at some of you and tell you've enjoyed that. You love to get together. And you know what? Nobody wants to be around somebody that's not fun. Am I right? But aren't you drawn to somebody that's happy? I mean, I love to believe God on everything, but I don't want to be so heavenly minded I'm not any earthly good to anybody around me. Well, I don't have to worry about that. You can count that out. But here's what he says about joy. Psalm 16:11. In your presence is fullness of joy. In his presence. He didn't say it'd be anywhere else. He said it'd be in his presence. Well, if you get in his presence and you get to know him on that relationship that he created you to have, that joy is just going to become bubbling out. And that joy is going to be, joy's not always happiness. You can have joy and not be happy. Say amen. You've experienced that. John 15:9, as my Father loved me, I will also love you. Verse 11, these things have I spoken to you, that my joy shall remain in you, and that your joy may be full. I want to have Christmas this year and let people who look at me see joy and see peace and see love. I have the neatest thing, and I wonder if you've got it too. I can walk up to somebody checking me out in the grocery store, and I'll say, you love the Lord, don't you? And he or she'll say, yes, ma'am. And I said, I can tell. It shows on your face. Have you ever done that? You just know. You just know. I've never had anybody say, no, I don't know him. Or, no, I don't love him. But they're that radiant smile. They'll just say, oh, yes, I love him with all my heart. I want that to be me. I may not be much to look at, but if they can just see Jesus in me, that's all that matters. That'll make me pretty where I'm ugly, especially going. The gift of compassion, you'll get that on the way home. The gift of compassion, I lose weight, but I lose it from here up. I look like I'm anorexic, but down here I look like I've had steroids for the last 2 years. That was not in my notes. The gift of compassion. I have a friend in Dallas, Texas, and I was telling Martha about him, and we talked so much, so many hours in the week, and he said to me this last week, he said, you know, I don't think we've scratched the surface on the gift of compassion. There's something about compassion that melts the heart of the coldest person in the world. Sometimes you can't mention Jesus. Sometimes you just got to love them. You just got to be there for them. And sometimes it's the meanest. Now, look, we're going into Christmas. Every one of y'all got some nuts in your family. And you're already dreading, got to spend a whole day with them. Some of them 2, 3, 4 days. But you know what? Listen to this. Start looking at that person, not where they are, but where they would, where you'd like them to be. Look at them. Say, I want to be, Lord, would you use me to help them, that person, to get from where they are to where you want them to be and where I want them to be. And you'd be amazed. Y'all watch the Hallmark Channel. Let me see your hands. Let me see if I'm among friends. I knew it. I'm alone, and so many times they have mean mother-in-laws, don't they? And it winds up good. They just love them, or they keep their mouth shut and just let them run till they run out. And then they do something sweet for them, and they're such and such shock, it changes them. Well, you can do that too. Take it from me, you can do it. One of the most wonderful gifts you can ever, ever possess, and to be as effective as you need to be as a Christian, you've got to have this gift. You've got to have a triple dose of it. It reaches the hearts of unbelievers. It reaches the hearts of believers. It reaches hurting hearts. It reaches bitter hearts, bitter spirits, broken lives. Just keeps on going. Just love without any thought of what's going to happen in return. Don't even think about that. Don't even go there. Just love them. I went in the jewelry store today. I had a stone come out of my ring, and it was bothering me, and I'd got it from this gentleman who'd come to Glen Haven, and for some reason he liked my singing. I guess he just hadn't heard much. And he's just been a dear friend, and so we were just talking. I gave him my new CD, and I was just talking to him about the Lord. He says he's a Christian, that he loves the Lord and he prays, but he's from Turkey and you can't understand him well. And I just said to him today, do you realize what a wonderful position that you are in owning this beautiful jewelry store? Because people come in here, and many times the one they're buying for has a lot higher expectations than what their husband can buy for them. And it's usually the husband is buying it, or the boyfriend. But I said, do you realize how God's given you a gift just to love people and encourage them? And I said, when you're showing them one of the most expensive rings you have, knowing they can't afford it, you might just say, but you know, what the two of you have together in your home is much more precious than this ring that you're holding in your hand. I said, and he just smiled and just sort of cocked his head and looked at me and said, I said, you can do it. You can do it. If he can do it, anybody can do it. Just have compassion on them. And then here's the greatest one. In the world we're living in today, my daddy and mama would turn over in their grave if they knew where our country was today and how they're coming against you and me and everybody who names the name of Jesus and taking away, and we're letting them take it away. The gift of hope. The gift of hope. Psalm 33:19. But the Lord looks after those who fear him, those who put their hope in his love. He saves them from death and spares their lives in time of hunger. So our hope is in the Lord. He's our help, our shield to protect us. We rejoice in him because we trust his holy name. Lord, show your love to us as we put our hope in you. There's not a greater hope in the world than the 23rd Psalm. And I said the first verse today just over and over. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, I'm just like you. When I hear these dear, sweet, precious, godly people, much more godly than me, I'm sure, over in these countries that they're beheading their children in front of them and beheading them for their faith, and I say, God, you said right here. But you know what? As we read the pages of God's Word, do you realize that just about every hero that we have in the Bible gave their life for their faith? I think it just means giving all. Don't you think so? And we in America have just had it so good, we haven't given all. We are in a very large church, First Baptist Church Concord in Knoxville, West Knoxville, Tennessee. And it's just like Glen Haven was when I was there. It's gotten to the point that sports have so taken over the weekends and Sundays and cheerleading and anything that comes along. And so many people that say they're Christians just come when something better doesn't come along. Listen, raise your children to know that it's not an option that you get up and decide on Sunday morning if you're going to church or not. You make that state, you make that decision one time, and from then on, they know where they're going to be on Sunday morning. And they know that they're going to be worshiping Jesus. Establish that precious, precious thing in your children so that when they become parents, they will have that same goal to raise their children to be godly people. There's so much I want to say, but I'll sound like a preacher. Don't talk about your church to your children in front of your children. Don't talk about your staff. Don't say negative things. Just tell them how. Remind them everything that God does for you and remind them of that so that they'll remember when they grow up. Like when I was a young girl and I never knew. I grew up in the mountains of North Georgia and it was a lot of Andorra preaching. You know what that is? They didn't say a whole lot. It was all about what you didn't do. And I didn't get to grow a lot as a child, but I knew it was real. But to be able to experience the reality of Christ and to grow in Him through Bible studies, through the Word. Don't say I can't understand the Bible. He'll make it so real and so plain. Just like what I've read to you tonight. There's nothing hidden about what He's trying to say to us. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down where? Not in a mud hole. In green pastures. Why? We don't slow up enough to lay down nowhere and listen to God. We're too busy and sometimes too busy doing things for Him. But He wants us to have the hope that only being in His presence can give to us. He's our help. He's our shield. He wants to protect us. We rejoice in Him because we trust Him like nobody else. What three words do you see most on a Christmas greeting? I think I've probably covered most of them. Love with compassion, joy, peace, hope. But wait, I've been shopping in God's Word and wishing for me. I've been talking to you about as if, this is all for me. Christmas is not about me. Christmas is not about your children. Think of our neighbors up there that have lost everything they have. And it doesn't get on your news. I've been having to put it on Facebook to get it to people down here what's really going on and happening because the world doesn't really care. There's not been a disaster up there declared. But it's not about us. And what I'm seeing, our newscasters, not one exception, our newscasters that's been on TV probably almost 24 hours a day, you know what they say over and over and over and over? Please, please pray for these people. We have people coming to us all day and all through the night and saying, please tell people to pray for us. Even if they don't pray, if they've quit praying, tell them to start praying again and pray for us. Can you imagine burning up in a wall of fire because there was no place else to go? We don't know how blessed we really are. And God wants us to have a relationship with Him because He's training you ladies in this room tonight. He's training us to be warriors that we might need so desperately before He comes back to get us. I was telling Alan? I was telling him today, American Christians, they don't want to go to heaven. They got too good of a life down here. Now they want fire insurance. And they want to be sure when it gets time to go, they don't want to know where they're going. But they don't want to go today. Why? We have too good of lives. But what about that little pastor over in Syria that watched his family be mutilated and killed? You think he's ready to go see Jesus? He can't wait. And God's Word 7 says, even so, Lord, come quickly. The spirit of hope. Oh, my goodness. What can you choose to give to somebody else? What can I choose? What do I have that I can give to somebody else? Just me. Me. Maybe those you love the most. There's no greater gift than the ones that have been given to you. You may have not tapped into them yet, but they're there. Where was it? Did you all, you may not be on Facebook, and please don't condemn me because that's my ministry. I have a ministry on Facebook. Did you see anybody about the little boy, the boy that's in his 30s that cannot count to three? He cannot speak hardly at all. He can't tell you how old he is. Sometimes he can't tell you his name. He can sit down at the piano and he don't even know which is right and left hand. He can play the piano like nobody you ever heard in this world. Go online and see if you can find that. I wish I could tell you how to find it, but it came in my timeline, and I've sent it to everybody I know. To think, and when he sits there, you can look in his face and just see the gift that God is giving him is just pouring out. And they had him on 60 Minutes. You might have seen him on there. And they're just blown away by him. Even a boy that you would think had so much wrong that he would never amount to anything is touching the world because God gave him a gift. And God works through him. Same way with you. Who would have thought a little old mountain girl? We went to the chicken places and got feed sacks and made my dresses. And I got to pick them out, and I was so proud of them because Mother made them. I got to pick out my pick of the ones that I wanted. That sounds really quaint, but it's a fact. Oh, to give the love of Jesus to somebody else, the gospel to the world. Be thinking about who you're going to see in the next 3 weeks that needs it the most. The gift of peace. Someone who needs to hear you reinforce that they're going to make it. They may be taking chemo. They may be have given, like my little 42-year-old friend, days to live. And she just lays in that bed in that hospital and sings to the nurses and acts like she's having a pedicure. You can do that. If she can do that, enjoy life, the precious life that we have left. Be happy, and don't forget to be silly with someone that has forgotten that life needs to have joy and lightness. Have that gift of compassion for the unlovely, the people you don't like, the hurting, that personality you wish you never had to listen to again. You know what? It may just be a crust over a broken heart. That could be it. The gift of hope, looking forward to God's plans for you and for me. Not today, not when all is hopeless and you think you can't go to tomorrow, but say it with me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus, come on, than Jesus' love and righteousness. Say it with me. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. Oh my, the gifts that we have to give to others are stacked so high in your heart. You don't even realize how many you've got there. It's time to start distributing them. You can start now. You can start tonight. You go for it. When Christmas is over and the tree is put away, you'll find that the stack is still, it's like the little widow. It just keeps coming back and it just keeps stacking up more, waiting to be delivered, and they never run out. Well, I guess that sort of completes my gift giving. But wait a minute. What did you say? I'm a gift. Let me look at this. Each of the gifts I have given can only be given because I choose to be the gift giver passed along from the gift giver himself. Wow. A gift has no requirements, makes no demands. It's offered. You're a gift. You are a gift that Jesus desires to place in various settings to bless others. For instance, your gift may just be speaking a word of hope to that lady in the bank. The one grappling with a feeling of hopelessness. It might be the homeless little lady or the most ferocious looking old gentleman that might need it the most. Showing acts of kindness and love to somebody needing your genuine concern. Just tenderly taking somebody by the hand Have you ever gone to the nursing homes and they're sitting out in the hallway in wheelchairs and they try to reach for you? They just want you to touch them, and they want you to love them, they want you to hug them. They may be nasty. They may have food down them. Remember Jim Symbol at Brooklyn Tabernacle? The old drunk that staggered in, and he'd been in the gutters throwing up, and Jim didn't want to mess with him. And he said, God said, that's your man for right now. And he led him to the Lord, and for years I've seen that man on the staff at Brooklyn Tabernacle. You never know what God wants to make out of somebody through you. Children I've had in Honduras and Nicaragua that came out where they would dig holes and cover themselves with dirt to try to stay warm. And what's $60 a month? And now they're secretaries. One's an airlines pilot. Two doctors looked after Miss Joan Tyson in the hospital when she was dying down there. They took turns and stayed around the clock. They had come out of the villages. And somebody had given them an opportunity to go to school and to become somebody. I mean, I wish I had the eloquence. And I wish I had what it took. Just to dump a bucket of love in your heart so deep. You're precious. You're sweet. You love each other and you love God. But I don't think any of us have scratched the surface on reaching out to sharing the gospel with the world through all the avenues that He gives us. Mentoring young women. Mentoring. I told my husband when he got to where he couldn't work, I said, just go up to the church and get some boys together and show them how to change the oil in their car or to maintain a car. I said, you've got the funniest, craziest personality. They wouldn't forget you as long as they lived. And they wouldn't have. We just need to be the gift that keeps on giving. I hope you'll always be reminded of your priceless value to the one who made you and how precious you are to Him. Somebody may have abused you. Somebody may have mistreated you. You may have lived in a loveless marriage. You may have a child that's so rebellious and so ugly and mean. And you wonder, is any hope? But just let Jesus shine through you when you can't do it on your own. You're just an extension of God. And yes, you are a gift. I hope I haven't come on too strong to you tonight. I didn't want to sound preachy. I just wanted to share into your heart how wonderful it is to be a lady of God and to have the opportunity to be able to put what God has given us in somebody else. One of the sweetest gifts I ever get in life, I've taught piano for 100 years. One of the sweetest things to me is when I walk in a studio or I walk in a concert or I walk in a church and I see one of my students playing. Oh, that's like birthing a baby. It's just the most joyous, sweet gift to me to replace. And I'm still teaching. I'm going to teach as long as I can run my mouth and get up to the piano stool. Because to put what I've got that God's given me in somebody else that'll be here when I'm gone, that means it all. And you know, it's not about me. It's not about my goodness. I tell them all the time on these tours, I wish I was half as good as y'all thought I am. I'm not. It's just that God has His time for me. This is His time. I get to tell people that even are older, don't sit down on God. There ain't no retirement. This is our greatest time in the world to share what God has done for us. And there's a song I'm going to close with tonight. Uh-oh, I went over 3 minutes on my time clock. But I want you to listen to this tonight. If you never remember anything else, one of my favorite songs I've sung all over the world. Because it's not about me, it's all about Him. Oh, it is Jesus. Oh, it is Jesus. It's Jesus in my soul. For I have touched the hem of His garment, and His blood made me whole. Just just bow your heads tonight. You might reach over and take the hand of somebody sitting next to you. I wish everybody in this room would just find a lady's hand and take it. Don't let anybody be sitting here. Somebody's not holding her hand. Because it's Jesus in my soul. One day as a little 12-year-old girl, I just reached out and touched the hem of his garment. And his blood has made me whole. Listen, girls. Think about this. I tried all that I could. It doesn't matter what somebody else thinks about, just what God knows. And it seemed like nothing ever did me any good. Oh, but one day I heard about Jesus. I heard he was going to be passing by. And I decided to give him my life. Sweet, sweet Jesus. Lord, I love you tonight. And I love these ladies. Lord, would you speak to their hearts all over this room tonight? And Lord, if they're holding the hand of a friend, let them pray for that friend tonight. Maybe they want to make a covenant that they'll seek you together, or they'll become prayer warriors. Or they'll just remember one another's burdens. But most of all, Lord, that they'll just remember that you created them for a purpose. And they want to find that purpose. They don't want to go through life and not have that purpose. Jesus, it's all about you. I'm nothing. None of us can be anything without you touch us and you use us. Because it's Jesus in my soul. That one that's not sure if they've ever touched the hem of your garment. Lord, would you speak to their heart and not let them leave this building tonight till they ask someone, would you help me to know that Jesus lives in my heart? And if I were to meet him suddenly like these precious people in Gatlinburg, that I'd be ready to meet him, that I wouldn't have any doubts about where my future would be, whether it would be on the streets of gold or in the pits of hell forever. Oh, God, it's real whether the world believes it or not. It's still real tonight because you live in my soul. I'm so glad I reached up and touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me whole. Lord, I want to thank you tonight because your blood has made me whole. Lord, let every one of us leave this building tonight knowing that your blood me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for letting me come tonight. I've enjoyed it. I never did use this. Oh, I'm so sorry. After you put it in my pocket. That's just like a woman not to listen to.